Hi, this is Holly Bailey, and this is the Word of the Month for September 2021. You know, the Lord says He is going to make a way where there is no way. He is going to open a door that's absolutely looking closed. And so right now, you know, there's people feeling like doors are closed to them right now because of the weirdness of the times, but I'm going to tell you that during this season, however long this season lasts, God has promised us great favor. And here's the good news. Here's the great news. When you have favor with God, He is so much higher than man and man's systems and plans and schemes. The Father is so much higher than all of that, that He, when He gives you favor, you have favor in the heaven and in the earth. And so the closer you get to God, the more aware you become of the favor of the Lord on your life. And it causes you, once you really get a hold of that revelation, it causes you to be more bold in your expectation. I'm much more bold in my faith. And when I ask God for stuff, I ask really big now because over the years, our relationship has grown to the place where I understand favor better. I'll say it that way. And so I believe God wants to show His kids the greatness of His favor. Sometimes you might feel like you're just looking at a closed door, and man says it's closed, and the systems of man say it's closed. But in fact, before the Lord, it's open. And so God turns that around in a moment. And so I think God is asking us to rise above and look above the closed door or the impossible. It's not impossible at all with God. And so that's why it's great to join yourself with the Lord in relationship, because then it's like you're working together for His goals to come to pass. And so that's really fun, because when your life is hid with Christ. Now, there's a scripture that talks about that our life is hid with Christ in God. And that's really a wonderful place to live. I think a lot of people haven't learned how to live there, but if we can learn how to live with our life being hid with Christ in God, then what happens is there's such a sense of oneness. You know, over time, hopefully you're getting to a place where you no longer live for your own desires and dreams and expectations, but yours become His. His dreams become your dreams. And His dreams are so awesome. His desires are just wonderful. You know, who doesn't want revival? Who doesn't want to see the Spirit of God move through the earth? You know, God's will is just awesome. And I think for too long we've allowed, and I don't mean you, but I mean, as a whole, the church probably didn't know the level that she could walk at. And so because of that, she's allowed certain things to go to pot in the earth, you know, to just fall apart. And so there's more obstacles that we have to contend with, but God is trying to raise up a people who know who they are in God. And one of the great ways to know that is to know that you're sold out to Him, that you don't have a mixed or divided heart. Having a divided heart really causes failure, because you can't pray with boldness, right? But for me, there's a place in God where we can have an undivided heart, and we are wholly committed, wholly, wholly, completely committed to the will of God. And that is when the adventure really starts, because you don't make decisions anymore. You simply try to discern what His decisions are and walk in them. So it sounds harder, but it's actually so much easier than trying to run your life and find your way to happiness and get God to do stuff for you so your dreams will be fulfilled. That's a terrible system. It doesn't work very well. It's not very fulfilling. But what I find is, if Jesus truly owns me, if he owns my heart in the fullness of commitment, then I don't have any other agenda. I don't have any other plan. My dreams are his. And his dreams are so much better anyway. They're so much more fulfilling and more fun, by the way. And God doesn't mind blessing us. And when you walk in the fullness of relationship, then you also walk in the fullness of blessing. And so, you know, I know that you know the scriptures, but it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, when you dwell there, you know, to dwell there, it's great to visit there. And I'll be honest, as I got to understand God, as I was getting to know him and getting to understand more and more, and of course, you never stop learning. I'm still on my journey. I'm still learning. I learn more every day, every week. I learn more about God and about serving him, right? But when, in the earlier years, when I was learning how to abide in his presence, people would always say, well, you can just live in his presence all the time. But, you know, I found that sometimes that was hard because I not only worked a job, but I worked a very technical job. And I found, yes, if I was pushing a broom or doing a physical type of chore, yes, it was really easy to stay in the presence. Now, the presence never leaves. But what I discovered was, if you're working a job where you have to use your mind a lot, it's very difficult to be aware of the presence when you're solving problems and working on large projects and sitting in meetings with crabby people. you know, it's not that his presence left, of course, because it doesn't, but it's that our awareness of it comes and goes because you have a hectic day or you have 4 meetings and 8 deadlines and all this stuff going on. And so it became a journey of learning how to master a lifestyle, because I wanted to abide, you know, dwell, live in the place of his presence, live in the secret place. And, you know, and I heard a preacher many years ago, who really understood the things of the Spirit, and she said, the reason it's called a secret place is it's a secret. Not many people really know about it or understand it. A lot of people talk about it, and some have visited there. And what I want to say is that when we first start, when we first press in to find the holy place or the secret place, the Most High, I think there's a, you know, we're faltering at first because we don't know what we're doing. We're learning about another realm, right? We're learning about a place that no one on earth can really tell us about. You know, a good preacher and the Word of God, they point the way. But it's a place we each need to learn to go, and it's in relationship. And so as your relationship grows and you come closer and closer to the Father, and you get to a place where you can dwell more constantly in that place, there comes an enormous confidence. It doesn't happen right away, but over time, a number of things happen. One of the things that happens is that as you spend time in the secret place, your heart is changed more and more to desire the things that God desires. You lose interest in the things that people think are important on the earth stuff. It doesn't captivate you anymore. It's the more time you spend in the presence of the King, you care about what happens to people and you care about souls, but things that might have meant a lot at one time suddenly aren't quite as important because you're in him. And when you're in his presence, wow, there's just nothing like it. And so your heart begins to gravitate more and more to be like his heart, to desire the things he desires. And so people start to think you're a little weird, but that's okay. It doesn't really matter what people think. People probably thought Jesus was a little strange, but let me say that when they needed help, they knew where to go. You know, if they needed blind eyes opened, if they needed a sickness healed, they knew where to go. Because people know that the King has the answers. They know that, you know. I've met atheists who claimed they were atheists. And as I've talked to them, you know, with an honest heart, one of my close friends, some years ago, I was very, very close friends with a teacher who was a professing atheist. And as we got to be closer friends, we got to where we could share our hearts openly with each other. And the truth is, and I think this is, I couldn't prove this, but honestly, every atheist I've ever talked to, it's not that they truly don't think there is a God, it's that something happened that made them think they don't want anything to do with him. And I'll give you a couple examples. One was a man, a Jewish man, who, like many other people, thought, well, if there was a good God, he would never have allowed the Holocaust to happen to God's chosen people. And therefore, I'm an atheist. So it's because of a hurt or an anger. My friend, the teacher, and this is actually the case with two people that I know that are claimed to be atheists, is someone in their family committed suicide, and they thought somehow in their mind they associated that with God and said, I don't want anything to do with a God like that, therefore I'm shutting him out. And so what they're calling atheism quite often isn't exactly that. And so anyhow, as we come closer and closer into the presence of the King, we build an awareness of what God's world is like. His realm, you know, the Bible describes it, but honestly, even, you know, you meditate on some of the things you read, and you can imagine what it might look like. But some of it is beyond our natural comprehension. Heaven is quite often beyond our natural comprehension. So as we learn how to rest in him and dwell in him, at first, I'm just going to say this to you, don't get frustrated if you're not able to do that yet, or maybe you're able, but it comes and goes, and you have a great experience with it, and then maybe not so much. Don't worry about that. It doesn't mean that your relationship is any less. In fact, you know, God's love for you never changes, and his presence level never changes. You know, nothing can remove you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from his love. And if you're born again, nothing can take his presence from you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Never. So his presence never leaves you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I am with you always, period. If you're born again, the Spirit of God dwells with you, lives with you. The issue is that we don't always have an awareness of that. We don't always understand it. It doesn't make sense, especially if we have a day where we're a little off and we feel like, well, why would he be with me now? The fact is, he's with us always. His presence never leaves, no matter what. And as we build an awareness by fellowshipping with him, it's through relationship. And as we get to know our Father, he wants you to know him personally. His desire is not that you'll just know about him. And, you know, I'm sad because a lot of my good friends, they've learned what maybe the church has taught about God, but it kind of boils down to formulas, rules, and regulations. Okay, when this happens, we do A. When that happens, we do B. But, you know, sometimes that isn't necessarily true. And so, although that can be good counsel and advice, what the Father wants is for us to have an open heart, an open heaven, an open relationship with him, where we can sit at his feet and grow in him and grow in relationship until we have a confidence, my Father is with me. And so that might start out, you know, a few times a week, you know, maybe you're reading your Bible every day, but maybe it's a couple times a week that you are able to really feel that connection or get an answer or have God speak to you in some way where you say, wow, that was God confirming something to me. And again, this is not necessarily hearing a voice, so don't get stuck on that. God speaks in a million ways. You know, I remember when I was making a decision about going to a certain church, and it wasn't a church I would have picked in my flesh, but I've determined that I will go where God says to go, and I will stay as long as He says to stay. And so I was asking the Lord to show me, and I was driving down the highway, and there was a billboard, and the lower half of the billboard had, it was as though it was fogged over, so I couldn't see the picture or the advertisement, but at the top there was this one phrase, and it had the name of the pastor in it. And I knew God was telling me, I want you, and the phrase was, please try blank. And that was the person's name. And I knew, because I couldn't see the rest of the billboard. And I'd seen that billboard before, and I knew what the ad was. But all I could see was this phrase, please try so-and-so, was the phrase. And I knew, okay, God is telling me that this is the church He's chosen for me. I was there for many years until he had me move on. So God's voice can come in many, many ways. His confirmations can come in many ways. Now, if you're new at hearing from God, or I don't even like that phrase, hearing, because it might not be hearing. It might be perceiving. It might be just a knowing. You know, God speaks many, many, many ways. Don't get hung up on that. Get hung up on this, that the Father loves you and He has a plan, not just a big lifelong plan for your life, you know, your calling, but He has a plan for your success and your blessing every day. And so, you know, I'll just give you an example. I was traveling and I was thinking about taking this certain way home, and I had this, every time I would think about it, I would have this real uncomfortable feeling, like just a terrible feeling. Not only a lack of peace, but really an uncomfortable feeling. But it made no sense, but I know it, the Lord well enough to know that if I'm really uncomfortable, it's probably Him saying, you know, don't do that. And so I didn't do it. And when the day came that I would have gone that way, some terrible things happened in the way that I would have gone. And it would have been really bad. And so I was super thankful that He made it so clear. Now, did He say to me, don't do that? No. But what He did was, I could tell by the peace, I'll call it the peace factor. If you have peace, if you have a deep and abiding peace about something, a lot of times that's God telling you, yes, that's okay. If you have a real sense of discomfort in your inner man, a lot of times that's the Holy Spirit saying, not such a good idea, Holly, don't do that. And so let's say you're getting to know the many ways that God speaks, the many ways that God confirms things. And maybe at first that only happens once in a while, but as you continue to press into the relationship, right, as you continue to spend time with Him, don't worry so much about how each day goes. Just try to stay close to Him, and it will grow. You'll get closer and closer, and eventually it'll get to a place where you feel like you're living in Him all the time. Does it mean you're perfect? No. Does it mean you get everything right? No. But there's such a sense of God's love and acceptance and Him knowing your heart, that your heart is to do His will. See, Paul, I'm fascinated by Paul. Paul lived for God. He had no other interest. He didn't, you know, that we can see, he had nothing else that he lived for but the gospel message. He said he was set apart for the gospel. He was set apart for that. And so his entire life, you know, was about going from town to town and persuading people. Anyone that would listen to him, his whole life was caught up in that. That was his story, right? That was his life. And I think to be that way, we have to grow in our relationship to the Father, because how do we get, I'll admit Paul was probably born set apart and it just took him some years to figure it out. But I'll also say that for me, the journey of relationship has been a journey of an ever increasing sense of being set apart unto the things of heaven, or more exactly, delivering the things of heaven into the earth. And I want that for all. That is really what I believe all believers should desire. But if you're not spending a lot of time with God, you know, if you're spending a lot of time with earth things, you're going to desire what the people of earth desire. You know, you're going to be like folks on earth who desire, you know, a nicer car. That's not wrong. None of that is wrong. I'm not picking on that. I'm just trying to think of stuff, you know, that people, you know, chase after. People chase after earthly stuff, earthly success, earthly awards, earthly, and that is not wrong. And by the way, God loves when his kids win all the awards. You know, God loves when his children are the smartest and the fastest and the best. He loves when we win the prize and the world says, oh, that guy's a Christian, you know. God loves that. So he doesn't mind at all letting us win in the earth. In fact, he loves that. He loves blessing his children. He loves blessing his kids with the best. He has no issue with that. But if we start chasing that, and that becomes the dream, then we're trying to do it by earthly means, and it just doesn't work that well, right? Or it works, but it's very unsatisfying when we get it. And so God has a system whereby we chase him. You know, I've seen people chase the presence or chase the glory or chase power. I've seen a lot of people chasing the gifts and the power of God. But I don't find that to be fulfilling. And I don't find it, frankly, to be fruitful. I don't think it works. Because the way that God releases power is when you seek him, when you chase after him, when it's Jesus that you desire, then you get his goods. But when it's the goods you desire, there will always be a sort of a wall that stops you, you know, because God will have no other idols before him, and that includes the gifts, moving in power, healing people. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the gifts of the Spirit, and I love moving in the gifts, and there's nothing more fun than when there's a huge flow. That's just a blast. I mean, when the river is flowing its strongest, boy howdy, there's just nothing more fun. But I will never seek that for itself. Because you know what that is? That's an ego trip, isn't it? That's somebody wanting to be used of God so that they can be, honestly, a lot of times, so they can be seen of men. But when our heart is wholly his, and we're seeking him just because he is so great, that's why Edgar was so phenomenally gifted. Edgar was just, I mean, the gifts of the Spirit in that guy were just overwhelming. They were huge, stunning. I saw it over and over and over. But what I also saw was, while he loved doing that, that wasn't his thing. He loved Jesus. He was crazy about Jesus, if I can use that expression. When he met Jesus, he was like, I don't have words for it. His zeal was so great, he would not sleep at night. He would not sleep for days. For several days, he would not sleep, because what if Jesus wanted to talk to him? So he would stay up all night, and he would have all these Bibles and books open around him, because what if the Lord wanted to say something to him? He would fast, he would pray, and he would not sleep for days because he was so hungry and thirsty for Jesus. And he began to have, you know, when the Bible says, when you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart. And when Edgar did that, he began to encounter Jesus. And when he would encounter Jesus, he would receive impartations. And those impartations, that's what gifted him. But he wasn't seeking that. That wasn't an idol to him. He didn't, in fact, the first time God used him to heal somebody, the very first miracle in his ministry was a really strong creative miracle. And Edgar went home from the meeting and he told the Lord, I don't want anything to do with that healing stuff. You know, I'll tell people about Jesus. I'll tell them anything you want, but I don't want anything to do with that. Because that wasn't his heart. He didn't understand it. He'd grown up in a church where they didn't do that. He didn't get it. You know, and yet the Lord wanted to use him that way. The Lord wanted to clothe him in glory. Can I say this? The Lord wants to clothe you in glory, but that can never be an idol to us. Jesus is the one and only object of our affections. I can say it that way. He's the desire of our heart. And as we seek his face, you know, we don't know what we will receive, but to me, I don't care. I don't care if he says, Holly, go lock away for the next 40 years. You're never going to see people. You're just going to minister to me and pray. Okay, that is not a problem. I don't care, because that's what I love more anyway. I'd rather be with Jesus. You know, I would say moving in a big flow might be my second favorite thing, but certainly not the first. If you ever really have a great time with Jesus, there's nothing better. There's nothing on earth more fulfilling, more exciting. Nothing. I don't know a word. You know, I used to chase after a fulfillment, and I would do these, you know, I would go on all these adventure trips and backpacking trips and whitewater trips and you name it, we did it. And they were fun. They were lots and lots of fun. And then at work, I would strive for real excellence to, you know, quote, knock it out of the park, you know, to take a project and just do what. I remember one project where everyone said, that can't be done. And when you say that to me, that's like, oh, yeah? throw down the gauntlet. And I did it. I spent a year working day and night, because I thought, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna knock it out of the park. And you know, let me just say this: whenever that happens and you accomplish the thing or you get the thing, you know how long that fulfillment lasts? A couple days, a day, maybe two. Let's say you're really used of God; it feels good for a day or two, and that's about it. It doesn't fulfill in a deep, abiding way. It's like, oh, yay, that's great. That felt great to get that award, or that felt great to have that recognition or accomplish something no one thought could be done. That all felt good. Or that great adventure, that was fun. But that is not fulfilling, and none of the things that this world offers offer that deep, abiding satisfaction, that fulfillment. Because, you know how when people witness to other people, they see there's a God-shaped hole in your heart? Well, that is kind of how it is. But just getting saved, at least for me, now that was awesome, but to walk in a continual fulfillment is a much deeper thing. To walk in a deep and abiding satisfaction in a world where people are people are acting like they're acting and things are going like they're going, I'm going to tell you, it's a real pleasure and a real gift to be able to walk in a deep, abiding satisfaction where you're not moved by any of it, because you know where home is. And when you have that, God raises you to heights. He raises you above all the earth systems, and he gives you secret passageways, secret methods to be blessed and to bless others because you're wholly His. Like Paul, you're completely His. And I think what we have is a lot of times Christians that have all these desires and dreams, and I don't want to be unkind, but a lot of times those are idols. I can't even begin to tell you how many people have said this phrase to me. If I were married, then I'd be happy. If I were in ministry, then I would be happy. No, you wouldn't. You know what you'd be is, it's a lot of work. You work your butt off. The fulfillment does not come from being used of God. And the work far outweighs, you work for hundreds of hours for every 1 hour of Yahoo, And before you get to the 1 hour of Yahoo, there's many hours of preaching and driving home and getting beat up by the devil thinking you did a bad job. I'm just telling you. So people who say, if I only had this, then I'd be happy. If I only had that, then I'd be happy. If you're thinking that way, be very careful that thing you think will make you happy, that's usually a little signal that it's a bit of idolatry in your heart. If only I had this, if only I had that. Because you know what? It's never enough. You know, if you wanted a house and you got the house, then you'd want a different kind of car, or a certain type of vacation. Well, now I want a hot tub. Now I want a sunroom. You know, we are people that are always looking for the next thing. And so what is the fulfilling? Where is the fulfillment? For me, I found home. Home is in Him. My life is hid with Christ and God. And God is calling us, especially in this day. Because if we can get to a place where our life is hidden with Christ and God, then we will be the ones to carry the revival. We'll be the ones to carry the goods to the other people. Because I'm telling you, in this day, there's going to be people who they're scared, they're worried, they're fearful, they're listening to all the news, they don't know what to do. And people understand when they meet a person of peace. They don't know what it is about you, but they know that there's something that you have. And so God is trying to raise up a church that understands the holy place, the secret place, that can operate in the secret place while they're walking down the road, while they're talking to someone at the bank, while they're at the store, while they're ministering to somebody. Because that's a person that really does have all the answers. You don't know all the answers, but you're living in a place where all the answers are. And it's as simple as it can be to reach out and get the answer that you need right at the moment, whatever it is. So God's trying to raise up a people who've grown into dwellers in the secret place, people who dwell and abide there. So don't worry if it seems like it only happens once in a while. You just stay close to Him, because it will become more and more and more frequent as you continue to pray, as you continue to press in, as you continue to sit at His feet, sit at the feet of His word. I will say, when I first started, I never heard the voice of God ever. And then, a conversation with the Lord would take me a month. I'd ask a question and 3 days later I'd get an answer, and it would take a while, and we would go back and forth, and to come to the conclusion where I finally thought I understood the answer might take, days and days and days. Now that same conversation might happen in 15, 20 minutes. Is that because I'm a better person? Absolutely not. It's because we've developed a relationship. And I can't say this strongly enough. God wants that for every one of His children. God desires every one of His kids to be well-versed in the things of the Spirit, well-versed in the holy place, well-versed in sitting in Him, being able to make decisions from that place, walking in the peace of God, rising above earthly situations, knowing what to do. Listen, if bombs start falling, you'll be the one that knows what to do, and you'll be the one that's not moved. I remember as driving in the car with my mom, we were on an expressway. There was a bit of traffic, and there was a slowdown, so I slowed down, and the guy behind me didn't, and so he slammed into our car, and my mom freaked out. I mean, understandably, it was a hard hit, and it was her car, and I didn't react at all, and she said, "Don't you understand what just happened?" I said, "Sure I do." She said, "Don't you get we just got hit?" I said, "Of course I can." She couldn't understand. I didn't respond at all. because I'm in the peace of God. I didn't have to react or scream or yell or jump or get upset because of where I'm walking. I'm not trying to make you feel bad or make you feel like I have something you don't. I'm inviting you. God is inviting you. He's inviting you to come into the open door that he has for you, because he wants you rising above. He wants to show you. Listen, God wants to show you off. God wants to take your life. Do you know that one of the desires, didn't you know that God has dreams, and one of his desires, it says is to show his manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers through the church. That's through you. He wants to show off to Satan and his kingdom through you and me. He wants to show us off. He wants to make us so victorious, so full of the power of God and the presence of God, the peace and the joy of God. All the good stuff that he has, he wants to begin to manifest through us. And what I'm talking about is the way to do that is to live in him, in him. We live and move and have our being. So I want you to stop thinking about it as though God is in heaven, far, far away, and you're on earth, and you're hoping he hears you and begging him to come and help you, because that is not what the Bible says about you. The Bible says you are hidden with Christ in God. You've been made complete in him. You've been raised up with him and are seated in heavenly places in him. According to the Bible, you are one with him. And our only problem is we haven't fully understood that, so we've walked in a separated way, separated from God, instead of separated from the world. And God is inviting us to learn to walk with him and to be taught by him and to learn how to live in a place where we're so close to him that we know if we ask him for something, he will do it. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But the Bible says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. And you know, I remember when I first read that and I didn't know, you know, am I abiding in him? I didn't know what that meant. It took many years of seeking the Lord and coming to a place of knowing what it means to abide in him. And I don't want to make anyone feel bad. What I want to do is make you hungry. So I'm never saying, you know, nah, nah, I've got this thing you don't have. I'm saying, come in here, the water's fine. Jump in, the water's so great, this is so great. You don't want to go through life without finding this place of oneness with him. Because then when you're in that place, I'm telling you, it's so easy to pray with faith. When I ask him something, even if it's outlandish, I know he will do it for me. Or if it's not the best thing, he might explain that to me, why it isn't, right? Because we have a relationship. God wants that for you. God wants to make you shine in this day, right? When everybody else is wigging out, he wants you to shine before the Lord. He wants you to shine in the earth. That's what he really desires for you. Amen. So I hope this has helped in some way. I love you, and I'll talk to you next time.